Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't know about me without you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. That book was made by Mr. Mark Twain, and he told the truth, mainly. There were things which he stretched, but mainly he told the truth. Aunt Polly, Tom's Aunt Polly she is, and Mary, and the widow Douglas is all told about in that book, which is mostly a true book, with some stretchers, as I said before. Anybody know the title of that book? The full title. Now that's got people thinking. The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. No. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. That book, this morning we're looking at a book that begins very much the same as this book does. O Theophilus, in the first book I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Those are the opening verses of the second book written by St. Luke to a man named Theophilus. And we heard the ending of his first book in our gospel reading, which took place 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. But Luke wants us to make sure that we see these two books as a unit. To understand book two, we need to see it as a continuation of book one. And yet Luke also says that his first book records only what Jesus began to do and teach. Luke's second book, book two, the book of Acts, recounts what Jesus continued to do. And though that book ends with Paul under house arrest in Rome, awaiting his trial before Caesar, the story of what Jesus continues to do is still being written. That book records all the things that Jesus did through his disciples in what to us is history, but also what he is doing through you and me today, and all the things that Jesus will do through his disciples until he returns in glory. Book one gives a record of what Jesus began to do and teach. That is, the essential facts. Without the Gospel of Luke, book two, the book of Acts, just really wouldn't make a lot of sense. When Mark Twain began Huckleberry Finn, he assumed that his readers would know Huck and Tom Sawyer and Becky Thatcher. Without the Gospel, we need to know the characters that we'll meet in Acts. Without the gospel, we wouldn't know the characters that we'll meet in the book of Acts, Jesus and Peter and James and John and all the rest. More importantly, without book one, there could have been no book two. Book one, Luke's gospel tells us about Jesus. Jesus who is the gospel, the good news in the flesh. And it explains what Jesus has done to be that good news. The gospel of Luke tells about what Jesus taught and what he did to earn our salvation, most especially his death and resurrection. Because you see, Jesus' teachings explain the truths of the kingdom of God, and that by grace, God rules in the hearts of all who believe. And Jesus' death means that those who believe in him have forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus' resurrection assures his disciples as believers that they too have eternal life. Like Mark Twain, Luke assumes that we know and believe what happened in book one. And so he introduces the main character of both books this way in book two. Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus, recorded in Luke's gospel, is required reading in order to move on to book two. Without Jesus' teachings, there would be no word to proclaim. Without Jesus' suffering and death, there'd be no reason to speak. And without Jesus' resurrection, the story would be over. And we, along with the rest of humanity, would have no hope. On the other hand, without book two, the meaning of book one would have been forgotten centuries ago. Luke's gospel isn't a volume of ancient history that can just sit on a shelf. It isn't simply a good book with which we can curl up and hear about an amazing man who once lived and died. We haven't finished when we've read and believed book one. In book two, the story of Jesus' works and teachings continue. The ascension may end Jesus' earthly ministry, but the adventure, the ongoing story, is anything but ended. That story of Jesus' resurrection continues in book two. Jesus presented himself alive to the apostles after his suffering and death by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. For 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples again and again, proving that Easter wasn't just one chapter in a history book. For the disciples, Jesus is alive was their motivation and their purpose. And for us, Easter continues to be just as real. Jesus is alive. The tomb was empty. The resurrection did happen. And so now we do have hope. As book two begins, Jesus was about to leave the disciples visibly. But to make sure his work would continue, he promised them some things. It says, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus was talking about what he'll tell us in book 2, chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. By the way, we're going to be observing that next Sunday. Wear something red. On that day, the disciples would be filled with the Holy Spirit. They'd be given power to proclaim Jesus, to tell everything he did and taught in book one with boldness and in the languages of the people around them, languages they were miraculously given so they could continue Jesus' work. But for us, book two can also seem a story of a past ancient story. The people in it lived once, they did some marvelous things for God, but they're now dead, and they're with the Lord as they await Christ's return in glory. But for Luke, of course, when he wrote the book, he wasn't just writing about some people he'd gotten to know. He was actually part of the story. At times he writes that we went here or there, or we did this or that. We remained in Philippi some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside. And we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together. And there they met Lydia, who was instrumental in starting the church in Philippi. For Luke, the story was contemporary. It was happening in the moment. It was affecting real people. And the same is true for us. You know, we may not have been given miraculous languages to speak. But you too, were baptized with the Holy Spirit. You also received the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit poured out richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In your baptism, you were made spiritually alive, and you were brought into Jesus' story. And your baptism isn't just an isolated event that took place sometime in your past and maybe relived as you look at some pictures in your scrapbooks or photo albums. Your baptism is continually writing the story of your life. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He keeps you in faith in Christ. He helps you to be confident of God's forgiveness and enables you to do the good works God has prepared beforehand for you to do. Just like Luke, Jesus writes his story through us. And if we were writing this down today, I think it might say something like this. And the Holy Spirit moved the saints of Grace Lutheran Church in the city of Caldwell to send Catherine Clark on her way with great financial support and many cards of encouragement and their prayers for God's healing through the talents of the doctors and the nurses and other medical professionals at Stanford Medical Center. And Catherine gave thanks and praise to God for the generosity and love of his saints. See, Jesus did that through you and me. He does that and he does all kinds of stuff through you and me. The story is still being written. And other people will look back and read our story. By the Holy Spirit's power, we continue Jesus' work as we proclaim his gospel to the world by what we say and do. And Luke even records where Jesus said this would take place. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The ascension may have been the ending of Jesus' visible presence, but his ministry continued. Now those words that Jesus spoke to them, they can actually be read as a table of contents for the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the story of the gospel being spread. In Luke's second book, we read that the gospel was spread throughout Jerusalem, and then we'll read how it went on out beyond Samaria, and by the end of Acts, it'll reach to what appears to be the ends of the earth in that first century. And his disciples will continue Jesus' story by being his witnesses to the ends of the world. But the known world has grown a bit since then, maybe not physically, but certainly in the way we look at it. The end of the earth is farther than it used to be. And it's our joy and it's our responsibility to continue Jesus' story. Book 2 continues with us. You and I are the characters in this continuing book of Acts. We have our Jerusalem. Maybe we'd call it our neighborhood. And we have our Judea, our city of Caldwell. And we even have our Samaria. It's wherever we might find ourselves when we're away from this place. Our mission field. Our mission field is our children. Our mission field is the folks that we work with. Our mission field is the men and the women that we play golf with or we fish with. There are thousands of unchurched souls in our town, in our state. An estimated 150 million in the United States, 4 billion in the world. That's a pretty tall order for a few folks from Caldwell, Idaho. But Jesus continues to be with us through this ongoing story of the book of Acts and to use us for his purposes. And then Luke writes, when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. The disciples saw Jesus leave, but he was really going away so that he might be with them. That's one of the promises of the ascension. You see, at the ascension, Jesus took his seat at the right hand of God in power. And that's not just some distant place. It's not like God is up there somewhere and Jesus is sitting on his hand. That's what I used to think when I was a kid. In fact, it's not really a place at all. What it means is that he's constantly exercising God's power on our behalf. By going away, he was able to be with us here, to be everywhere, now, always with us. And he also promises that he's praying for us and guiding us and protecting us. Jesus is continuing to write his story through you and me. So just as book 1, Luke's gospel, continued with book 2 continued far beyond the last sentence of the book of Acts through you and me. In fact, book 2 will continue until the very end of time. And what's interesting is that the forms of the Greek words that Luke uses in verse 1 of book 2 might suggest a third book. In fact, some of our best stories have been written in trilogies. Lord of the Rings, the Gulag Archipelago, even Star Wars, Indiana Jones, or The Matrix. Threes seem to have a sense of completeness about them. We have an unfinished book too right now. A book recounting what Christ continues to do through his people, through you and me. But a third book may well be hinted at already in book two. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Now that's a book. A certain history yet to be written. A book that'll begin the same way book two ended, when this same Jesus returns in the same way he went. And that book will never end. But that's a different story. Amen.